Oh, oh.
What's up? We have to start the podcast, Richie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Zach. I'm trying to fix my watch. It's stuck on 3 minutes to midnight for some reason.
Oh, and speaking of that, we're going to be doing a Doomsday Clock midnight opening.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that may be why it's a little messed up there.
That's got to be it.
So, we're going to be doing a midnight opening on November 22nd at 11:57 p.m. That's going to be a Tuesday night, and that is going to be for the premiere of Doomsday Clock number 1.
Who's that by?
Written by Jeff Johns, artwork by Gary Frank.
Woo!
This is going to be the melding of the Watchmen universe and the DC universe.
We're probably going to get some answers, you think?
Yep.
Wow.
It's going to be crazy. They've already announced the covers. They're going to be crazy cool.
I've seen some of them. They're great.
There's the regular cover. There's a Gary Frank cover with Dr. Manhattan and Superman.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awesome lenticular.
Rorschach lenticular, yeah.
That's just crazy. And then also for the midnight event, only if you come to the midnight event, you're going to be able to get the Midnight Doomsday Clock number 1 exclusive cover. It's a special thing for only the stores that are doing midnight events.
Right, so obviously we're going to represent IWMC is here for you, the fans, and we're going to make sure we get that cover in for you.
Exactly. Also that night, we'll officially announce everything online if you want to check out the little details, but we're going to have discounts on stuff like Watchmen, Rebirth, The Button,
mm-hmm.
Tons of cool stuff. We're going to have some discounts on that. And Richie and I are going to dress up as well, so if you want to come
there's a potential of that for sure.
Yeah, so if you want to come hang out with us, it's going to be a killer book. Everything about it has been. Just been going crazy. The buzz is super high on this.
And I wouldn't want to spend the end days with anybody else but you guys.
Yes.
So come hang out with Zach and I on November 22nd. Doors open at 11:30 p.m.
Yep.
And we're going to be waiting for you, the fans, to push this to one of the best events ever.
Exactly. We ordered some great number of copies here because I think everyone's going to want every cover. I think the covers are all killer and they're great. We're also going to be doing a podcast kind of breaking down the first issue, so look forward to that on your podcasts.
Right. Well, I guess my clock is going to just stay there until that
all
happens,
right.
So might as well start the show.
And she came with the same type game, the type of girl giving out the fake cell phone, the name big fame. She like catching big things, jewel ship, money clip, phone flip the six range. Has seen her on the ass, spotted her more than once. Ass so fat that you can see her from the front. She spot me like paparazzi, shot me a glance, and that cat woman stands with the fat booty pants. Hot damn.
Hello and welcome to episode 63 of the I Want More Comics podcast. I'm Richie.
I'm Zach.
I'm here.
You're sick.
And that's Sean.
Sean's
not feeling well, so he's finally caught up with him.
Yep.
It's all right. I'll probably make even more historical mistakes in my podcasting because I'm really not here.
That's right. Well, before that happens, let's move into the news.
All right. So in the news, just recently announced, Warner Brothers is going to be giving Wonder Woman an Oscar push.
Yes.
They're going to try and re-release the movie. They're going to try and get nominations for actors and producers and all that stuff for Wonder Woman.
Is it Oscar worthy?
What do you guys think about that? What do you guys think?
I thought it was an excellent action movie, but I rarely ever see action movies win Oscars.
Damn it. Why'd you have to do that? I was riding the hype train, and I don't think it's actually Oscar worthy.
No, I mean, you know, most Oscar movies are something like historically based. Do you think Blade Runner's Oscar worthy?
I think Blade Runner 2049 should win some Oscars.
Why?
Yes. Because Roger Deakins.
I could see cinematography, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe even sound, but you think the acting was that on par?
Is there an Oscar
music? Yes.
Yes. Soundtrack.
Because her theme song should win an Oscar for sure.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is that they're going to do this push, and it's up to the Academy voters to decide. If everybody in the Academy says, oh, yeah, we need to give Patty Jenkins a nomination, then they'll vote for
Director, I think, is worth it. You know what?
Well,
no.
Well, what other movies this year would be you consider Oscar-worthy?
I think it is Oscar-worthy.
Okay, there you go.
Most action movies never make it that far.
I agree to that.
Well, even like the Lord of the Rings, which didn't get any Oscars until the third movie. They, like, saved them all up.
Right.
And did
sure.
It, you know. Yep. Here's, like, 20
but won,
Oscars.
But yeah, they won all of them, yep.
I think that Oscars should be awarded to movies that affect us historically, and I believe that
How does Wonder Woman affect you historically?
I know several people that, for the first time ever...
The woman director knocked it out of the park kind of thing?
Well, not only that, but the representation of a badass female lead that didn't need...
It was the changing of the old adage that has been in pop culture and in entertainment society that a female-driven superhero or a female-led movie cannot become one of the biggest hits on the planet, which Wonder Woman did. And if I remember correctly, if you do the, inflation or whatever, I think it's like number six or something of the biggest superhero movies ever.
Right.
So that's the reason why it's a cultural big thing.
And it's not an ensemble cast. It's legit Wonder Woman doing Wonder Woman.
But you're
thing.
Doing this all of on fandom and
also
hype and... I mean, just historically speaking, I really am going historically off here.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be that weird.
No, I know that you love this movie.
Yeah. I think it's
great.
But do we generally think Crash will change the entire world?
Crash was pretty good.
Yeah, but generally, when you're looking at movies that are Oscar-worthy, it rarely ever happens that it's any kind of an action movie. Ever.
Right.
Oh, I don't think it's going to. No. If you want to hear my opinions, I don't think that Wonder Woman will get much of anything in way of Oscars. Do I think that it deserves to have a push? Sure, why not? Reshow it in theaters. See what happens. If Patty Jenkins and Hans Zimmer and some of the other people get some nominations, cool. Do I think it's going to win Best Picture and everyone's going to be doing the James Cameron Titanic thing where they go, I am king of the world? No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Girls are just going to start kneeing dudes through walls?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
That should happen anyway.
I mean, that'd be awesome.
But, you know...
right now it feels like somebody kneed me through a wall.
You feel like that guy?
A little bit.
But anyway, but I just thought it was interesting that they're going to do that.
It is an interesting discussion piece, and a nomination would be worth it in general. It's interesting. I'd fight for it.
All right, this is going to make Sean very happy. January 2018 is the official release of the new Strangers in Paradise by Terry Moore.
Oh, yeah, I already heard about this. I was already happy.
I have two
Tell me your thoughts, Sean, on this.
I'm pretty excited about it. Well, because they're doing, a TV show with it, too? I think that's what
I'm going to
read the rest of it. I'm going to read the rest of it.
You're the guy who has to look all this stuff up. How do I know this and you don't?
Well, because everything gets a TV show or a movie
from what I heard, this is supposed to have a TV show wrapped around
it.
I know he's getting ready to... He wants to redo the comic and... Well, not redo, continue the story, I guess.
That's a better use
of words. But I'm ridiculously excited about it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you haven't read Strangers in Paradise out there, you need to. I've been pressuring Richie into do it for a year. It's a meaty read.
It is meaty.
Because you're talking
six
full trade pocketbooks. I mean, that's... It's like, I think... 80 or 100 issues?
I think it was 100 issues.
Because it went through three different publishers.
Yeah. You're also leaving out the fact that it's not all just comic book reading either. It goes through every genre of like writing style. There's a script at one point you have to read through.
I've been done with it for a long time, Richie. How come you're...
I'm going to read it. I'm going to finish reading it with like a week left and be like, God, I've been waiting for this for so long.
I might hate you.
Yeah, mine are in my storage unit.
I'm going to cough in your mouth if you do that. I'll make sure I'm sick, too.
There you go.
No, if you haven't read it, I would absolutely run out and see if you can, in whatever form or fashion you desire to read.
And as someone that is currently reading it, I agree wholeheartedly. It is...
you fall in love with these characters.
Yeah.
It's not superhero stuff.
It's not
slice of life. It's very relationship-driven. But it's one of the better comics I think I've ever read.
Someone, there was a quote on it from Kevin Smith saying that when people say that the love stories have ended, I show them Strangers in Paradise, and that is what I would do as well.
There you go.
It is a brilliant piece about want, love, lust, and rejection, and just emotions all around. So
fantastic. All right, this last news story is a pretty crazy one. Joe Quesada is putting out an all call for his artwork that was stolen by a handyman. $239,000 worth.
Whoa.
Of stolen artwork.
Is that a price he just made up, or did he have it appraised?
No, it's appraised because he bought a ton of stuff. He bought original Archie covers. He bought original Marvel covers.
That kind of stuff. Okay.
It's original artwork that he did himself. And a handyman who was kind of a friend. Was helping out.
Absconded with it.
So Joe Quesada had a friend who, a guy who came in to help work on his, one of his pipes burst in his home.
Right.
And the guy helped out, and they became friends, and they hung out, and he had some really bad medical issues, the handyman did. And Joe Quesada, you know, would help out. That's kind of how, you know, much friends they were.
Right.
So Joe Quesada was out of town. The guy asked if he could stay at his house, you know, for a little bit. I guess he said yes. And then when they went to check on the security, everything was taken down, and the gates were open.
Oh, my goodness
and
gracious.
And he took all of it, and he sold it at auction. So Joe Quesada is looking for...
So wait, Quesada already paid this dude's medical bills, and then the dude jacked him?
Yes.
Wow, that guy's a scumbag.
Yes, he fled
He might have been really bad off.
Then he fled to Italy, where he spent the last 2 years, and they just caught him coming trying to come back into the country. So Joe Quesada is looking for So Joe Quesada is looking for his artwork. So if you have any leads, if you've seen any, because it's just been passed around through the ether now, to contact him on his Facebook page, or there's a link to his website. You can just look up Joe Quesada Facebook, and you know it'll have an article and stuff there. But he's looking for that. Like, yeah, he had original pages from the original artist who worked on Archie. He had, I guess, one of the things was a painting that he did of his own wife. I guess some of his pencil pages from like Daredevil and all that kind of stuff.
Holy cow.
All that stuff was stolen. But yeah, the guesstimation, the appraisal for it was $239,000. That's 100. Holy everybody. Cow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he gets that all back.
If he had original Archies and original stuff that doesn't exist, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Good luck to him. Why don't we move into our picks of the week then from there?
Excellent.
I will go ahead and start with mine. I picked Image new comic from Top Cow as well. Same thing, but it is God Complex. And it's written by Brian Lay, or created by Brian Lay, writers Paul Jenkins and artist Henry Preseda?
I think so.
So the artwork is what sent me to this comic.
Yep.
We were actually bringing it in on Tuesday, and Zach was like, look at this thing. And I fell in love with the artwork, and so I thought I'd give it a chance.
Skylight Screen.
It starts out very noir-based, which kind of hooked me. Detective kind of trying to find out three murdered religious zealots, and they were placed in a particular form. He runs into this guy with an awesome helmet on, and apparently this is a world where everything is connected through the internet, essentially.
Okay, plays Destiny.
Huh?
With a helmet like that.
Yeah, he could totally play Destiny with a helmet like this, yes. So there are runners, and runners are cops that live in the internet and kind of solve crimes through digital, like a digital life almost. And they have to wear the helmet to see different, all the connections and things like that. And so it's very high tech noir, and which leads it kind of into a sci-fi feel. Very slow paced. There's not huge action in it as much as it's just a, like I said, a noir style cop and crime mystery.
Excellent.
I think it's a great book to pick up. It just hit today, and I think it'll go under everyone's radar, so I want to bring attention to it.
Okay. I dig it. Sean, what about you?
Mine's going to be quick and sweet. I like Mr. Miracle number 3.
Okay.
We've already driven this sucker into the ground by how much we like it.
Yes.
I'm just going to leave that right there on the table and say you should pick it up if you haven't picked it up yet.
Yes. And
no, you can't add on to it. That's just me.
Oh, that's just you. What's your pick?
Well, Originally, it was going to be Mr. Miracle number 3.
Yes.
But I'm going to go with my alternative, which we talked about. These were so good, I can't not pick, you know, one of these. And that's going to be Dark Knight's Metal 3.
Uh-huh.
The reason why I won't specifically want to talk about this issue, if you haven't picked it up, I'm not going to get into spoilers, but this was the All Superman issue. This was Scott Snyder writing about what Superman's role in Metal. The first couple have been the Justice League and Batman and what's been going on, but this one was about how does Superman fit into this puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Superman fan, fanatic, I really enjoyed that. You know, Greg Capullo's artwork was fantastic. It had one of the coolest superhero moments, in my opinion, between Damian and Superman in there. Really, really enjoyed that. Flash had an awesome moment in the book as well. You know, I know it's a softball to talk about it, but I read both of these just like Richie.
Yes.
Next to each other, and I just went, how am I reading these two good of books at one time?
Yeah.
At one moment. So
it's a weird time to be a comic book fan, especially in that DC world where you read something like Mr. Miracle and then you read Metal 3 and you're just like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah, you read something like Invincible.
And yeah, there's Invincible.
Well, exactly.
That was next week.
There's so much good stuff out there. So, I know it's an easy one, but if you're not picking up Metal, if you're not picking up Mr. Miracle, you have to.
I enjoy that we're at the point.
I think Mr. Miracle is a lot more abstract than you guys give it credit for.
It really is.
I could see it alienating audiences. It can. Honestly.
I've seen it happen to a few people.
It's a bit abstract. Sure, so sure. If abstract isn't your thing,
yeah.
It's not a pure superhero story. Yeah, so if that's what you want, you're going to.
It's highly psychological.
Yeah.
Very much so.
You actually read the first two before you read the third one.
I read
one,
all three
which
in
I think
one
is
sitting.
A perfect way to read this.
Because I went back and reread.
Yeah. And I think that's the way to go with
it's
this
great, yeah.
Is that every time the new one comes out, you just start rereading them over and
uh-huh.
over and over again.
And in fact, that is my plan. Yep.
Yeah. But I do like that we are in a time where, you know, you want to pitch your favorite comic and you can't necessarily pick your favorite comic because it's so consistently good
yes.
that you want to say it every time.
Yes.
That's a great problem to have. And I couldn't be happier about it.
I agree too.
Great picks of the week. So I think with that, we will slide into, I can't believe we're doing this, but we're gonna go ahead and spin the racks.
Spinning the racks.
Spinning the racks.
Sliding into racks. That sounds painful.
All right.
You can do it and then spin, like you slide underneath it and kick, like just slap it and spin that rack.
So
what if the books all fly off?
Anyway.
They replace correctly.
The rack.
I love when he just goes, no, we're getting back on the train. This isn't a stop. It's not a stop.
I will say I'm excited about this. I am too. I didn't know when this would happen. I knew it would.
Yes.
But we're going to go ahead and break down the Bible, right?
Yes. Tonight's Spinning the Racks is going to be...
It's comics. It's a comics one.
Tonight, right. We're going to be talking about Watchmen and your relationship to it.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about just a bit about everything. First of all, this is going to sound crazy, but we've just recently learned because of the new Doomsday Clock that they've been promoting the last couple weeks here that some people actually have not read Watchmen before.
That's correct.
I would say there's a lot of people that probably
there's not a lot of
it.
People that was, so
it had a big push and big fervor right before the movie came
yes.
out.
Yes, yes.
But then that's, think about it, how long ago was that out?
Almost 10 years.
So you have like that much. You have that much time.
Yeah, almost 10 years.
Eight years. You're looking at a whole new generation that's never read Watchmen.
Yep.
So yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that have never read it.
So first of all, what do we think about it? Well, let's talk about it to somebody who's not read it, and then we can get into the nitty gritty about our relationship and what we think.
You're going to think it's weird, but I actually think the book is starting to become dated.
Okay,
that's fair.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is I've been showing people this comic book for. Seriously, decades.
Well, sure.
You should read this. This is an awesome book. This is an awesome read.
Yes.
And there's some people that have come back, and it's been more recent than I can ever remember, but they've come back and said, well, it was okay.
Right.
So when you have a book that's had this much longevity,
yes,
and then you start having an audience that's disconnected from this book because they don't understand, they can't put it in the context of it being the groundbreaking piece that it was at the time.
Right.
Well, so much has come from this book.
And there's so many things that were that had spun out of it. And maybe they read the stuff that had spun out of it. And I will give you this analogy really quickly, and you're going to kind of probably go weird on me, but I am a maybe it's okay fan of Blade Runner, the original.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
And the reason why that is, I never watched it in its heyday. I was like 10 when it came out or something like that. So I never watched it until many years later. And by that time, I had already watched so much other sci-fi noir stuff that was kind of based off of it, that it didn't resonate with me the same as it did everybody else. The introspective, you know, type story that it
is. Philosophical questioning, those kind of things,
That kind of thing. So it didn't hit me like it hit everybody else. I mean, even though Zach's younger than me, he watched it much later too, and it still resonated that way with him. Mm-hmm. So even though it didn't resonate that way with me, it still resonated that way with him. Yes. And I think you're going to get the same comparison. So
I was
going to
say, I think that's a perfect analogy because, yes, Watchmen was groundbreaking. It was something that people had never seen before, but it has been copied more times than we can discuss.
Right. Well, the basic premise of what the story is has been copied. The same. It. I can't say honestly that there's been another comic book out there that's had the same feeling behind it.
No,
necessarily,
I agree with that. Yes.
Or the same structure.
Well, the same like
because
Blade
Alan Moore put everything plus the kitchen sink into this comic book.
Correct.
You know, when you build the comic book to be basically not able to be made into a movie or TV show, not correctly anyway.
Right.
You've put everything into it. You know, you've made it as the only medium that this is going to have this much of a cultural impact is going to be this medium, which is true. The movie doesn't have the same impactfulness as
the comic
book.
It just doesn't.
No.
Yes. I wanted it too bad.
When I saw the trailer, I was like giddy and happy, and I was like, "This looks like, freaking!" I watched the trailer. I could still trailers, and I could still watch the trailer for that.
Well, that trailer was voted one of the best of the decade, actually. But
it was ridiculously well put together.
Oh, and I like that movie a lot. I think the movie's really good.
I do until the end, but we've had this discussion. I think.
Oh yeah, we have.
I like the movie. The movie's just fine.
Yeah,
it's not. It does. You're not going to get the same resonance as you are at a comic book, but the movie's just fine.
Yes. Yeah, agreed.
Yes, but do you think that people should pick this up if they haven't?
I really think everybody should give it a try and try to read it.
Yeah,
and
so
I've actually heard some conversations, and there are some... I've talked to some females out there who don't like it because they don't like the depiction of rape in the book.
Mm.
And I get that.
Yeah, there's...
But discounting the entire story because of the one piece... And I mean, they have a solid argument to kind of base this on because they say Alan Moore always uses that kind of sequence in a lot of his books. And thinking back, I don't know that he's done it in every book, but I know he's done a couple.
Yeah. He's done a lot, yeah.
So, and I get if you're upset about that and you don't want to continue reading it because you just don't want to. I get it.
Well,
but
you
should base the whole book off the whole instead of a piece.
Right.
That's that's always been my stance.
Well, and the
like
big
this.
Thing I think that you need to know going into it is it was part of the Dark Knight Returns 80s deconstruction of superheroes.
And 86, 87.
Yeah, it is not...
It was that mid-era...
It is not a superhero book. It's
towards
not,
the end of Reaganomics.
It's not about how great superheroes are and how they're beacons of light, which is what a lot of people go to superhero comics for.
And to be fair, it kind of was for a little bit. There's hints
well,
at it.
It starts out as a basic murder mystery.
Right.
And turns into something so much more.
So much more.
Yes, exactly.
I agree with that statement 100%. I do, it is kind of insane that you, when you think about it being, 30 years now? 30,
it grew up. It grew up.
31 years.
Yeah, so you're talking about not only people that have read it, but people that were influenced by that are now solid in their writing.
Yep.
And potentially giving us why, and that could be why it's like that. Just like you said with Blade Runner.
Well, here's a funny question. Out of the three of us, who's read it when it came out?
When it came out?
Yeah, none of us.
No, not one of us.
Yeah.
I think I read it first in 92. Is when I first read it. So it was already a couple years removed.
Yeah.
It was 7 years removed when I first read it.
I think it was 97,
and I read it because somebody told me, have you read this? Mm-hmm. You like comic books. Have you read this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like that person who introduced it to me also introduced to me Dark Knight Returns and correct. A couple others I'd never read before.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And to me, I felt like I was going to college. That's why I was referring to this as Comics 101.
Comics 101, right.
It's kind of stuff that they became building blocks for a lot of other writers and artists to kind of feed off of and create their own stories.
Right. Yes. Yes, I definitely...
It is kind of like To Kill a Mockingbird.
It is.
Like,
it is.
This is no standard reading.
I always think that, like Sean was saying... I think that if you are into comics and you consider yourself a comic book fan, that you should at least read Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns. I'm not saying you need to love them. Yeah, I'm not saying you need to love them.
If you don't like them, you don't have to like them.
I'm not saying you need to go hunt down the issues. I'm not saying that you got to have tattoos of them on your arms. But I think that everyone should at least read it and see, see what comes out of it and go, oh, this is why people like deconstructing superheroes. This is why... You know, all this philosophical stuff started to seep in through tons of comics after Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen. So, my opinion is that you should definitely give it a shot at first.
Right.
And if you read it once and you don't ever want to read it again, cool. But I think everyone should read it at least once, see what's up.
Agreed.
Well, just to see what you get out of it.
Yep.
You know, because everybody's going to get something. This is such a... For what it is, there's been books written about this book.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
When you have books written and deconstructing the book that deconstructs the superheroes and uses Charlton heroes from the Golden Age to create these stories, you're doing something that's making people want to read your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, especially if people are writing books and deconstructing every single freaking panel of why this is important, each that one. This poster was in the background and what it depicted and what it meant.
I have the annotated Watchmen.
It's like, holy crap.
I have that.
I've read it and I was like, I didn't even think of half of this stuff.
Right.
when they're going, notice the shape of the shadows in the Correct. Pop can here, and you're like, whoa. Yes.
What? These pages mirror these pages? What the hell?
Yes, exactly.
So to someone that may be listening to this that's like, what is Watchmen?
Yes.
Let's give them a quick little...
A synopsis?
just a synopsis of what that is. This is important for later in the podcast.
Yes, well...
You're building context.
Yes,
he's building context. But, we can go the vague route where we say there's a...
Let's do the vaguest we can.
There's a character named the Comedian who is killed in the opening pages.
Yes.
And by a mysterious intruder.
Uh-huh.
And he was part of a group called the Watchmen.
Uh-huh.
And one of its members, Rorschach, pretty stout in his moral beliefs, vigilante, decides to investigate. And the entire book is him uncovering the mystery.
Right.
There's the vagueness.
If you want the real vague.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's about as vague as you can get. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that it is a breakdown of ensemble heroics that...
really hadn't been done up in that
correct
point very much
that,
if at all.
I don't think at all. Like the realism, like the real consequences of those characters that was in that book, I don't think had been done before.
Well, and psychological
all that era was the beginning and start of the Dark Age in comics, where everything was deconstruction and everything was anti-hero and everything heroes can be shiny and hopeful, but they can also be dark and brooding. Right. They can be this, too.
Correct. Which we've talked about how society pushes our medium. And in this is almost a perfect representation of that.
Yeah, it was a mirror of what was going on.
That was
society.
The era it was Absolutely. Coming out in.
Do you trust your government?
Right.
Do you trust the people that are watching
yes.
you?
Right.
Well, who watches those people?
Yeah.
Who watches
the
Watchmen?
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
There
that's one of the things. When you say that...
It always kills me that Richard Nixon was the president still.
That's awesome. That is fantastic. And again, what you're talking about... what I find really funny is, and I will talk about this really quickly, is what Sean was saying is that feeling that it was dated. I think for a while there was a time where it felt very dated. I don't think it's dated.
The pendulum swung again?
Yes, I think the pendulum has swung again.
Well, me and Liv, though, like what I'm talking about with dated, like the biggest complaints I've heard is that the art style is dated.
Oh, yes. And I've heard that from Steve Dillon.
Dave Gibbons.
I love Dave Gibbons' stuff.
I've heard it from Steve Dillon.
But...
That's fine. That's
Gibbons fine. Very much was a product of that time.
Yes, he was.
And
yes,
art style.
That's
changed.
Why he was perfect. That was, for
yeah,
that
but that
look.
Was right before you yeah. got your Jim Lees. And yes, that was right yes, before you got yes, your McFarlanes and all those really splashy, flashy
yes, it was.
Type artists. It yes, was. It was a very much a this is an 80s comic book artist.
Sure,
comic book.
Sure, absolutely. No, it I, was I agree with that.
Completely. That.
I agree with that. No, but I mean, you know, but I was talking about, you know, some of the themes for a long time. We didn't talk about nuclear war. Right. You know, people were there, even though it's always been there. But
there's so much stuff that people can take out of this book that,
oh, yeah.
like I said, people are going to choose what they focus on.
100%. 100%. One of my favorite things ever with Watchmen is Rorschach right?
Right.
I love that. That's the question, and I've had so many different answers by so many different people. I've talked to so many people,
well,
and
they go, "They're adamant." It keeps that part ambiguous, and it's really love up to that. Whatever your own moral clauses are.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So morally, how do you feel about the situation and what's going on? How would you react to it? That's where people get their answers for that question.
Correct. Yes.
So, as a comic book, if you're a person listening to a comic book podcast,
yes.
I think that
if
we
you're
all,
listening to us, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would agree that if for some reason you're listening to us, then
welcome.
You should be absolutely reading The Watchmen. You should have either read it or plan to read it at least once, regardless of the opinion after.
And just see what you get out of it.
It is, like these guys are saying, it shifted comic books up for a really long time.
I think everybody after, like this guy put on such a giant pedestal,
yes,
that everybody looked at it after and was like, I don't know how to write comic books anymore.
Right, right.
I really think there was a lot of writers in the medium that said that. It drove Alan Moore to become a recluse because he didn't want to be talked to about Watchmen.
Yeah. Because people were just fascinated.
They were so,
this is the
give us another Watchmen. Yeah. He was like, I'm just writing stories that I feel like need to be told. Yes. And it drove him to be the eccentric,
that's a word.
Person that he is today.
Yes. Well, I mean, Watchmen.
I mean, he also got a raw deal with
he did.
What happened with DC at that time, too. So.
Sure. But, I mean, Watchmen is the only comic book that was on Time's the greatest novels of the 20th century.
Yes.
I mean, it's. I mean, that's kind of how
big. So maybe you
big.
Should give it a shot.
just I mean, give it a roll.
That's kind of how big it was. And again, and really funny, I'm actually looking at a book right here that we were just talking about minutes ago. Mr. Miracle is a direct descendant from the love of Watchmen.
Correct.
Even Tom King and those guys were talking about how this is them trying to deconstruct
superhero. They're also doing 9-panel pages.
Exactly.
I mean, you're doing classic comic book
but
from
I'm
that era.
But I'm saying that it's still resonating today
on
the shelves right now.
Well, everybody that's writing comics that is around my age or maybe a little bit older, they're going to have this in their repertoire.
They couldn't not.
They're going to know this book. They're probably going to pull some stuff from it and not even realize they're doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
It's just so embedded in the back of their head that it doesn't matter. They're going to be influenced by it.
Yes.
Well, and being that way, I mean, how does it feel that this is now coming kind of full circle with DC and they're wanting to look at these characters inside a DC universe?
I'm very interested in Doomsday Clock. And that's kind of one of the reasons why we wanted to do this, was because we wanted to have a Watchmen conversation before Doomsday Clock hit and see what our thoughts were. Because I really think that what they're doing with Doomsday Clock is they're going to be... I think that Geoff Johns saw what you did, because he said he reread Watchmen, and with everything that's happening in the world now, something clicked, and that's what the story is. So I think that he's going to, I don't know if the word modernize it is, but he's going to bring in some of the stuff that we're having troubles with as a society into there. And I think that right now, and honestly, I think right now in the world is the most troubled time since the 80s.
It's very much a turmoil-based era.
Right now. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Absolutely.
I mean, especially, like, politically, this is probably the most...
We have a country
volatile?
That's
volatile and divided and polarizing.
Yeah, but wasn't that the 80s too?
It was pretty polarizing.
That's what I'm saying. And then the 90s, the boom happened. Everyone was making money. Everything's okay. The economy was great.
I think the 80s were actually the beginning of the decline for the middle class.
Sure.
Because everybody was very much a, well, what do you have? I have all the toys. Yeah. I have all the money. Or you were poor.
Yeah.
And so the middle class started to absolutely disappear in the 80s. And it's come to the point now where there really isn't a middle class.
Right.
There's really well-off people And then there's just under that, and everybody else is, oh, how many jobs do I need to scrape by?
Correct.
Just to buy a house, just to rent an apartment?
Yeah.
And I know that's where I'm at. I'm just, I ain't rich. I ain't ever going to be rich. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know that any uncles I have that's going to give me a ton of money.
I keep looking for them. And so, like you said, it's coming full circle right now, which is really interesting. And I think that, I'm very interested to see what happens with the Doomsday Clock, because... it's not supposed to just be Batman and Rorschach fighting. It's supposed to be a take on our society and what it means. So, which is what Watchmen was.
I hope it gets that deep.
I really do, too.
If it doesn't, they're going to miss the mark.
They're going to... There is a chance that they completely blow it. I will say, after what I've heard Geoff Johns talk about, when I read the first six pages, which we have here...
So I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. I will say that it feels like they're on target.
Yes.
That's all I'll say, because I can't guarantee anything.
I can't guarantee
it. Especially when it comes to the magnitude that is Watchmen. Yes. And I still don't think that I'll ever say, like, oh, it's going to hit Watchmen, you know?
No, yeah.
But it's the closest I've seen to... Geoff Johns is one person I know that is earnest in his intentions, and it feels like this is a legit look at the problems of today.
Yeah.
He's a massive Alan Moore fanboy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And... so am I.
It comes out, and everything he writes and he wants to write about is very...
Well, like I said, I know you haven't looked at the pages, but just looking at the pages...
I love Gary Frank's art.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, but like I said, let's get back to Watchmen. I don't want to talk much about that. But.
Okay, so what I wanted to talk about is when you first read Watchmen, what did it do to you as a comic book reader, a reader in general?
Gotcha.
How did that change? Did it change you? Because I think between the three of us, I know it changed us. May not change other people now, but at the time I read it, it blew me away.
Yes.
So go with that. And I kind of want to start with Sean, because I think
he's
going to
be
first.
The first. Yeah.
Okay. So when I read this, I was basically reading superhero books pretty much.
Right.
That was my wheelhouse. I was reading like X-Men. I was reading Spider-Man. I hadn't gotten really steeped into a lot of the DC stuff yet. I read a little bit of Batman, but I was reading mostly superhero type books.
Right.
So I was looking for something else. Uh-huh. I was at the point in my life where I was like, I want to read something else. I want to read something that's not superhero stuff. And that's kind of weirdly how this happened. I asked somebody, hey, give me a list of 10 books you would recommend that I should read, you know, that are not necessarily, I mean, they can be superhero, but something out of the ordinary.
Do you remember who that person was?
I don't.
Seriously. I don't either. I don't remember who it was either.
I guarantee you is somebody I had met at my local comic book store, which was Tornado at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I know I had this conversation. It might have been the owner of Tornado, actually. Mm-hmm. And I asked him this, and he gave me a list of 10. And in the top 10, I mean, there was Dark Knight Returns was in there. Mm-hmm. There was the Daredevil... written by Frank Miller.
Born Again.
A Frank Miller fan.
Oh, yeah.
the Born Again stuff. He said you should read... He told me I should read why can't I think of it? Contract with God. My brain just turned off for a second. He said I should read Mouse. These are all like standards everybody should probably read. And then he said, okay, you should read Watchmen. Yeah. He's like, if I was to tell you any of these, the number one pick would be Watchmen. I was like, well, why Watchmen? He's like, it's like nothing you've read before, and it will take you by surprise. And that's why he told me to read it.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. So I actually took the list, and I waited to read Watchmen until last.
Mm,
I read from top... I said, give me a list of 10. What's your number one? What's your number 10? And I read from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. I got them
all
the way down to 1.
That is super interesting.
Yeah. So I was reading...
Contract
all
with God and Mouse
stuff.
Before Watchmen.
Yeah.
Okay. So that might set you up for Watchmen. Like,
not really. Not like you think it might. Because they're different stories.
Correct.
Like, a Contract with God is very much a, how do you find yourself in religion, and how do you find yourself when you feel like you've been slighted by somebody you've given your all to?
Right. Sure.
You know, especially if it's an entity or a being of otherworldliness.
Yes.
You know, Mouse is very much a historical piece. Very sad, very well done, and it helped me understand the Holocaust. And I'd always been interested in that because my grandfather served World War II, and he'd tell me stories. And so that was really an interesting piece to me.
Right.
Especially the fact that you could put whoever's faces you wanted into the characters because they were generic mouse faces.
Correct. Yeah, we talked about
and that
mouse.
Kind of stuff. So I get all the way down to Watchmen, and I read it, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
Because I had never read anything like that. And when you get to the very end with the Ozymandias speech.
Yes.
Right.
There's a point when he gives a speech. What he says was so, for whatever reason, I don't know if I'd ever not read that, and I don't know if I want to give it away. Are we going to do spoiler alert? Most people have read Watchmen.
I was
going to
say, if you haven't, stop now, go read it.
Yeah, stop now. Yeah, for the next half hour,
we can't do this without giving a spoiler.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this away real quick.
Read Watchmen if you've not.
So,
here we go.
Ozymandias basically tells Rorschach and Night Owl what he did and why he did it. And then they're like, well, we're here to stop you, in the classic superhero trope.
Yeah.
And
then
he goes,
broke the rules.
What do you mean? I actually unleashed this half an hour ago.
Half an hour ago, it's done.
Basically, it was like, well, why would I tell you my master stroke
if you thought you could ever defeat me?
And it was like, what? You know?
You can't do that.
I was like, you what? And I had to go, I had to read it again because I was like, you're kidding.
Because he's talking about some horrendous shit.
It made it so perfect because you go to the next book and you get to see
the carnage
of everything that happens. And you are just like, holy crap. And the gravity and the...
This makes me want to read Watchmen right now.
To me, it was an amazing book. And I understand why they changed the ending for the movie.
Yeah.
Because you can't do what they did in the comic in the movie. You just can't.
We'll talk about that
You can't have giant squid monsters from outer space because America and most audiences wouldn't
get it. Well, and also, they didn't set any of that up with the scientist and the all that. The main point was trying to bring humanity together.
Yes,
that's the main point.
Okay.
No, that was absolutely.
That's the main point.
Yes. To a degree,
how do you fight stuff like World War?
Right. Yes.
Where you could decimate and kill everybody.
How do you
fight that? You bring everybody together and create a world peace. Well, what do you got to do to get that world peace? You got to fucking crack a few eggs.
Right. So if that cracking the eggs is an alien entity or a physical god. Changes the perspective of that change. You know, in my world, it changes the why people are behaving.
He was using that as a centerpiece for everybody to focus on. Because if everybody focuses on the same thing, they're not focusing on the differences within
each
other.
Right. Exactly.
And that was the point.
That's the point, yeah.
If Jesus were to land today and then wreck half of New York and say, hey, be good, and walk away, I don't know if that is the exact...
That's not exactly what happened in the comic book.
No,
you're talking about the movie version. We're talking about the comic book.
In the comic book, if an alien force lands, then it's kind of like, hey, we can rise together as a humanity.
The alien force landed and decimated everything, but died on impact.
But we've heard
because
that.
Because it couldn't survive.
But that's been a part of pop culture for decades. How many times have we heard somebody, we're talking around, and somebody just says, oh man, I wish the aliens would show up. So then we could all become united. You know, whatever it is.
Right.
We've heard
They've addressed that in a lot of pop culture movies where it's been...
But he used it in a real way.
Yeah. In the, hey, all our focus comes here because we have to come together as a people to defeat the thing that's going to kill all of us.
Right.
We can't just have infighting. Mm-hmm. But the problem with humanity is that humanity will get comfortable and always go back to infighting, I personally believe.
Right.
Because you can't... We're so petty
in that case, the movie would work a little bit better because the second you start slipping, be like, God's going to kill you. And you're like, oh, yep, I remember what he did in New York.
Yeah, but then you're subjugated, and that's a different story.
I agree completely. That's why I don't like the ending of the movie.
The ending of the movie, it was the best use that he could have to have audience accept what it was.
I'm just saying that would be different.
I personally thought it would have been cool if you put a giant squid monster that died on impact and blew up half of New
York. I'd be fine. I think that would be cool.
However, everybody would have, panned the hell out of that movie if it was that. You know that's true.
Maybe.
They would have buried it. For us dorky-ass fanboys, it would have been fine. For everybody else, you didn't have enough time to...
In the book, you are following 12 issues of a sub-story
If you really, truly wanted to do this book...
It'd have to be a TV series.
It'd have to be a TV series.
Which they're doing with HBO right now. But anyway.
Let's go to Zach real quick when he was introduced to it.
Okay, so my big thing was... I really started getting into the quote-unquote world of comics around 2005. that was when I started listening to podcasts. That's when I started realizing that comics came out weekly. That's when I started picking up more things, because previous to that, my mom and me, I would just order stuff online or go to Barnes & Noble and just buy stuff. That's, you know, and we would go to a comic shop and buy some stuff, sure, but it was just whatever. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'd go and buy a trade paperback and then go home.
Apparently, but then I sold him an early comic book.
Yeah, he sold me a 1602 number one for $20. But anyway, awesome. So
damn money.
That's right. So anyway, so around that same time, I was getting into it, listening to podcasts, really starting to get into the world, going, oh hey, people buy right. comics every week, and V for Vendetta came out.
Okay.
And when saw that movie, read the comic beforehand because everyone said read the comic before seeing the yep. movie. Loved that, and everyone said, this is the warm-up for Watchmen. And I said, oh, I got to read this Watchmen, because my my right. podcasts were telling me that it was big. Right. All the websites were like, after you've seen V for Vendetta, read Watchmen.
Now we're in a podcast telling you it's big. Whoa.
Yes. And so and so I dark. Went so I went to a, I think I, if I remember correctly, I went to Barnes & Noble with my mom, and I picked it up, and I took it home, and I started reading it. And like Sean, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I right. mean, kind of a little bit, with because I read V for Vendetta, and I saw that there was some of that.
Yeah, nobody really explained to me what they just said. It's a murder mystery. You'll enjoy it.
And more. V for Vendetta. Right. That's how V for Vendetta. V for Vendetta did kind of prime me. It said this is going to be philosophical. So I didn't go, whoa, that's this funny. Is philosophical.
Yeah, I didn't read V for Vendetta until many years after.
Yeah, I read V for Vendetta first. That was the very first Alan right. Moore thing I ever read, was V for Vendetta.
My most Swamp Thing.
And then I read Watchmen, but it blew me away, and yeah, I just and I like my relationship with Watchmen. I read it once a year, and every year I get different things out of it. I get different people. When I first read it, Rorschach was the greatest character. He was the thing that the only reason why to read Watchmen, in my opinion, was to read it because of Rorschach. Then it turned into Dr. Manhattan. Then it turned into The Comedian. And then it turned back into Night Owl. Then it turned back, you know, every year I get something different. And that's one of the reasons why I love it. Because
the brilliance of what would be issue 4, yeah. where they're on Mars and he's explaining ugh. How he does not think like you think. He right. sees yes. everything as a constant right yes. now.
Yep.
All
yep.
things existing through a timeline right. in his head. Well, as he lives them, he still remembers what happened to him 10 years ago right. and what's going to happen 25 years in the future.
Yeah.
That blew my freaking yeah. mind when I first
oh, yeah.
read it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and the thing I love about it is every character has different philosophical viewpoints. And going through life and doing, you know, they change. Right. Rorschach was my favorite for a long time because he has a strict moral code. Whether it's right or wrong, he sticks to it no matter what. But then there's people like Night Owl, who were more of your, you know, average Joe kind of a guy who's just trying to find love and find some point to being around.
Well, he deals with the situation as is, as it's happening.
Yes, right? Exactly. And I love that because I've at different points in my life I've done it. And the Comedian's nihilism.
He's completely just 100% just nihilistic.
Yeah, just right. his. It doesn't matter. And the fact all of this politics and all this stuff.
The Comedian yep. being yeah, a nihilist so is good. Awesome.
You know, but I'm saying is that there's so much in there that every time I read it, depending upon where my head's at, you know, I gravitate or I pick something else up. So, but yeah. So I read
that's
it.
A good one.
Yeah, I read it. I read it all the time, and yeah.
I was introduced to it in. From like 93 I started getting, I was reading Batman since I was 6, but in 93 I started caring about it, and up to about 97 I had finally picked up Dark Knight
mm-hmm.
Returns, and I was like, oh, there's my Batman, I figured out, and I was like really into 80s comics because sure. I was like, oh, if that's anything like it. So I just randomly picked up, because on the back of the Dark Knight Returns copy I had
oh,
it yeah. had like similar titles, and Watchmen was one of them. So I went and picked that up, and I read it as a superhero comic, and it was issue 4 or 5 when they were on Mars. That
it was 4.
It was a 4. It yeah. blew the doors off of yeah. everything I actually knew. When he yeah, actually discussed the Miracle of You, and how that's a funny joke to him, that, you know, the improbabilities of your existence and somehow you're here, the mathematics that it takes to get you there, I find it interesting. And that, that was everything to me. And then when...
You're such a hopeless romantic.
Yeah, well, that, and, it was so good. But, like, but then it was... I'll tell you that when I first opened for page one, I hated it. I was like, this is dumb. I'm not in. And it's because I was particularly thrown off by John Higgins' coloring.
Oh, okay.
This weird guy deals... it kills me when people don't like to read black and white. This guy, he's so interested, like, in the inker and the colorist.
But his color palette to me was crazy. And then it turned out that it couldn't be anything else.
Exactly, yes.
Now it is... It cannot be anything but John Higgins' coloring, and it has to be that palette. And then, as I continued reading it, I found more about it. In the panel, there's two different scenes in the same apartment, and in the 9-panel breakdown, in each panel, the shading or the coloring of the shading changes, dark to bright, every other. Okay, it's in like issue 3 and issue 9.
Yes,
Rorschach is. In the apartment, checking it out, and then Rorschach's in the apartment again trying to escape the cops. It's not until the issue 9 that he tries to escape, jumping out of a window, and gets caught by the cops, and in that one panel at the end, they show that the apartment is across from a flashing neon sign. That has nothing to do with the comic. It has nothing, it doesn't anything.
For the scene.
Oh, yeah.
But the amount of detail that it would take.
Oh, the detail in this is nuts.
You know the script that Alan Moore wrote for that. He absolutely put that in there.
Absolutely.
Said, oh, you need to do this.
Yeah, it needs to go black, white, black.
Yeah, the
where any other colorist would most likely legit black it out or something, like, it would be very apparent. You have to find that out 6 years after you read the comic. It's that free. It's that it's not jarring, you know?
Yep.
That lucid, if you will. And, but it was the panel, it was the first page of the last book that broke me as a little seventh grader. I did not know that you could, like, I was just like, oh, wow, he, and I read it through trade, so I can't imagine.
A week, monthly or whatever?
Right. No, dude. You guys are heroes that did that to go, like, I did it 30 minutes ago and wait. Another month to pick, to go, what's the first page?
I think we all read it in trade, I read it in trade.
Yeah, so, but that flip of the page changed my life.
Oh, it's great, yeah.
He's in the famous building there, and they're in the, like, train station or whatever, but they're all these bodies lying on the clock. Central. Yeah, Grand Central Station, yeah.
Yes, yeah, and the clock.
And the clock and the blood coming down on the clock, and it was just, again, with John Higgins coloring, Dan Gibbons illustrations, Alan Moore's words on top of that.
You know, I have a Gibbons Rorschach headpiece in my Watchmen hardcover.
That's awesome.
My absolute. Ooh. Ooh. It is a remarked absolute that's signed in.
I just got jealous.
So when I die, I guess you can have it.
Awesome. You heard it here, folks. That's his contract right there.
She'd probably have to fight Tara for it.
So. You told me she's going to get rid of most of your stuff anyway.
But yeah, so that issue, I think it's 4 pages, no words, just image of the devastation of New York or this alien. And it.
And you get to see the thing time. Is you get to see all these characters you kind of been following in the background.
The whole time.
So
dead.
Yeah, dead. I'm gone. The whole thing.
Yeah, like the news.
The newsboy. Read
it right now. It gets so bad. but now here's the big thing. And again, we talked about spoilers. So so don't be angry with us. But here's the thing. But here's the thing I absolutely love.
You.
Here's the thing I absolutely love. Ozymandias says, "I did this. I united the world. I killed 3 million to save billions."
Yeah. What is your
What is your
what
thing?
Is your psychological ramifications?
How do you feel about that? How do you
party time? Well, right? The phone doesn't feel very happy about it.
No, he's not a fan of it. The question that is asked at Watchmen, and the thing that I absolutely love, is in the end, Rorschach says, "It doesn't matter what it is. It's a lie. And all lies should be
exposed.
Dr. Manhattan, who...
Yeah, but would you sacrifice for the greater good?
Would you sacrifice for the greater good?
That's your big question.
Yes, and Night Owl goes, and
I understand.
And then Dr. Manhattan says, oh, that makes total sense. That's, yeah, great. But even then, Ozymandias goes, see, Manhattan, I did the right thing. And he goes, nothing ever is solved in this universe. Nothing is ever solved. Because what does that mean? And then just pieces out, which I love. So, but that's what I love is there are people out there who say, it doesn't matter if there's peace in this world, lie away.
What would you, doesn't matter. What would you sacrifice for that?
What would you sacrifice for that?
Would you sacrifice millions to save billions?
Yes.
Would you? Could you? Could you sacrifice your loved ones and your parents and your family and your dog and...
all that.
It is a very interesting... And that's the greatest part about this book is... you.
What starts off as a like tiny murder mystery turns into what would you do for...
What is good?
What is good? Yes.
What is right in the superhero realm? And if you did have this power, you know?
Yes.
Do you just cut the knot?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With this, I just want to say that this still is one of my all-time favorite books.
Well, this book could be debated for hours on end.
Correct.
About every piece of the book.
This could easily be a four-hour special.
We'll just take it. 4 hour? Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah. We could do...
A couple days.
Yeah, we could just...
Page by page.
Yes, we could do page by page. We could do...
But we would bore the living hell out of you, audience. So we won't do that.
We don't.
Yes. But I definitely think... and I'm really interested to see with Doomsday Clock if people are going to sit down and check out Watchmen. Are people going to be picking Watchmen up for the first time?
I think we'll see an uptick and upswing in the book. For sure.
I'm interested to see how that works.
Yeah.
You know.
I as well. I think... Doomsday Clock is the reason that we're getting to refocus on it, and this is what sparked the Watchmen conversation. So in that much, it's done a great thing already. Look out on our Facebook page for more Doomsday Clock information. We're doing a midnight release that I hope all of you come. We'll talk Watchmen there for sure.
Absolutely. We're going to have Watchmen copies. We're going to have The Buttoned. We're going to have Before Watchmen. We're going to have all that good stuff.
And I just, if you haven't read Watchmen and you listened to all this, even the spoilers can't change how good this book is.
I mean, we just told you snippets.
Right.
We just told you snippets.
The whole story arc is fantastic. Yes.
12 issues, you can get it all in one trade. It is a meaty read. That's another thing that...
I mean, if you don't like it, it'll make you think.
And read the pirate part. Don't skip it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that public service announcement.
Yes.
Every time for years, Sean and I have heard
read
this.
Read the pirate part and read the prose at the end.
Correct. Read the whole thing.
Because they all actually tie into the main part of the meat of the story.
Correct.
It doesn't seem like it when you first read it,
yep.
But they are integral to the story.
Yes. Exactly. So many people.
All the Minutemen stuff. Yeah. You need to read that.
All of it.
What was it? When Watchmen was coming out, we were selling tons of them.
Yeah.
There were so many people who came back to Sean and I when we were selling them.
Skipped that part. Yes.
Yeah, well, I just skipped all that stuff. We said, and they go, you know, but this didn't make sense. That was all the stuff that you skipped. That was all the stuff you skipped. You got to read the prose.
Alan Moore doesn't do anything by accident. Let's just put that
No, even
this
even
is something you should
pictures.
Take your time with and see how it makes you feel.
Correct. So go pick up Watchmen and make sure and see us November 21st for the midnight release of Doomsday Clock from DC. And until next time, we will talk to you soon.
All right.
Howdy ho.
Who watches the Sean?
Nobody.
guys still here?
I bet they are.
All right, if you guys are here, we're just doing a last little announcement here that I Want More Comics does 2 book clubs every single month.
That's right.
The second to last Thursday and the last Thursday of every month, we have a book club. The second to last is a manga book club where we sit around and we talk about different mangas. Right now, we're going through the Dragon Ball Saga. Once we get through that, we'll be going through other famous mangas that people would like to sit, read, and talk about.
Yeah.
The last Thursday of every month, we do a comic book club where we pick different things. We've done things like Day Tripper. We've done things like Dark Knight, a Paul Dini story.
We 3 by Grant Morrison.
We've done tons of stuff, and that's always changing. The great thing about this, guys, is if you want to participate, we make it super easy. Both the manga and the comic book club, whatever we're choosing. You guys can get an awesome discount. If you are a Hold Slot member with I Want More Comics, you can get them both for 30% off for the entire month whatever month they're in. Mm-hmm. If you are not a Hold Slot member, you're just somebody who likes to come in, walk in, have fun, you still get 25% off all the time on those titles. This is just an awesome way for us to talk comics, get great comics into people's hands, and to spread the love. That's going to be the second to last and the last Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time here at the store. We just hang out and talk some awesome comics.
So it sounds like all you have to do is buy a comic book and then come hang out with us and talk about it.
Exactly. So if you're interested, just stop by. We always have it at the front counter. Mm-hmm. And it's a great time, so be sure to check it out.
Absolutely. Until next time.
Yep, talk to you guys later. Bye.